my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is Matthew 14, verse 13. But when Jesus heard it, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place by himself. And when the multitudes heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he came out, he saw a great multitude. He felt compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This place is desolate. The time is already past, so send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only here 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." And ordering the multitude to recline on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. And breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over, the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There was about 5,000 men who ate, aside from the women and the children. Now, that's a great passage of Scripture. Usually, if I'm going to talk about this particular story, I do it from John 6. But I like this one because I want to come at it from a little bit different direction, just concerning the ways of God. It says about Moses that even though Israel understood God's acts, Moses understood God's ways. I really appreciate that because we understand God's ways. You get the acts too, but you understand what God's up to, and you spend a lot of time not being confused and complaining and fearful. When in one of the stories, it was a lad, a little boy, who had this sack lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. It wasn't like they'd gathered up a bunch of loaves and fish from people. There was this one little boy. And the language, in the original language, is they were like 5 little sardines and a couple of crackers, you know, a few crackers and a couple of pieces of fish, just enough for a little boy. And as I mentioned just recently, I don't think everybody in the world were volunteering their food. They were probably holding on to what they had, but this little boy was sitting close enough, I think, that he heard the conversation, and he like went up to one of them and said, "Well, I got this, if this will help." And so what's so cool is that Jesus accepted it. And then Jesus took it, and then he blessed it. And after he blessed it, then he broke it. And then this miraculous thing happened. When you become a Christian, when you give your life to him, it may not be much, like this little boy. It may only represent like a 5 loaves and 2 fish kind of offering. So you may not feel like you have much to offer. You may feel like what you've had to offer has been damaged goods. But when you give it to him, he takes it. And then what he does, he blesses it. The truth about every single Christian is that every single born-again believer, no matter how much they think they have nothing to offer, he's offered them everything. He didn't need a banquet to pour out his blessing into. Just 5 loaves and 2 fish were enough. Just this one little boy's sack lunch. And so it's got nothing to do with the adequacy of what you bring to him. It's got nothing to do with the quality that you bring to him or the quantity that you bring to him in your life. All that matters is that it belongs to him. And what belongs to him, he blesses. And every single believer, no matter how weak or inadequate you are, or how much you think you aren't inadequate, if you think you're strong, doesn't matter. The thing we have to operate from that's the same, Christ is all, and he's in all. And because Christ is all, and he's in all, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every one of us. Every single believer, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how inadequate you think what you are, how broken you are, all of us are in his hands, and he's blessed every one of us with this supernatural capacity. That once he blessed those loaves and fish, they carried a supernatural reality. But the thing I want you to see is that supernatural reality, that supernatural capacity, was only released and manifested as they're broken. Why does the Lord, again, allow us to go through places that we go through in this fallen world? You see, the worst thing that happened to humanity, the reason that we all fell, original sin was pride. That we somehow think, man somehow thought, the temptation was they could be like God without God. But we were created to live in absolute utter dependence on him. And so just like Jesus was always training his disciples to live by faith, we're still in the school of Christ being taught to live by faith. There's this great passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It kind of describes the school of Christ. This is verse 8. Well, let me just read some verses earlier. That kind of speaks for itself. begins in verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, the word comfort there is the same word, paraclete, Holy Spirit. You're Holy Spirited in affliction. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant in Christ. For if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers in our being paracleted, Holy Spirited. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of our life. It's interesting how the Lord lets us get in the situations that brings us to the place where it's beyond our strength. And he does that over and over again, because that's the only way he can teach us to live by faith. Because he knows, because of the fall and our tendencies toward pride and to think we're indispensable to God, he's not looking for indispensable people. He's just looking for 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's just looking for an inadequate, an adequate person who in weakness gives himself fully to him. And it's the blessing that the loaves and the fish carried that he put in. It's supernatural. The loaf and the fish became supernatural. But he teaches us to draw on that as he puts us in situations that are beyond our strength. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Not the sentence of death on them, but there's an eternal, internal sentence of death. A sentence of death within ourselves in order that, why? We should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, he will yet deliver us. Why does God allow us to go through these places of brokenness? Because look at what was manifested supernaturally. To the degree that we allow him to break us of self-dependence, of putting our hope in our own strength, that's the degree to which he will be able to manifest through us supernatural life and supernatural favor and blessing in the lives of others. In other words, every test is an opportunity for you to advance into the life of the miraculous. I don't mean by that that you're doing spectacular things, just that every moment of Christian life is a miraculous deal. Stop cursing your loaves and fish. Stop wishing that you had a different kind of humanity to offer Jesus. Stop wishing you had better skills or different personality. All it took was one little boy's sack lunch in the hands of Jesus. Blessed. If you're a believer, then Christ is all and he's in all. So all that Christ is in you. And as you go through times of testing, that sentence of death is being carried out. Don't curse those times. See those times as opportunities to trust him. To not trust in yourselves, but to trust him. And then you'll come out of that place manifesting the supernatural that's been deposited in you. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Doesn't mean because he likes you. He cares about you. No, it means he takes care of you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But listen to what it says now. This is really important. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished, not endured, but accomplished. It's a lot of difference between enduring something and accomplishing something. Are being accomplished by your brethren in the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself mature you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. Now notice that he didn't say, resist him firm in your faith and it'll all just go away immediately. The war is your faith. The war is against your faith. Resist him by standing firm in your faith in his adequacy and his supernatural ability to walk through this thing you're walking through. And when it's done, when you've come out on the other side, you'll discover that not only did you survive it, there were 12 baskets full left over. And there's something supernatural about your life that there wasn't before. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.